a lot of us know a lot about because how many of you shepherd? These sheep roaming around the fields of Granville, usually not much, but in the ancient Near East, shepherding was a pretty common trade, and everybody knew what shepherds' lives were like. Shepherds had to wander around terrain that was pretty arid and difficult, staying a crop of livestock herd on, and to take them to places where they could find food and to protect them from wild animals because there were no fences. That's why shepherds have rods and staffs. Shepherding was an important job, and it was a job of care and carefulness. And one of the famous passages that we often hear at funerals, though I wish we would hear it more often at other times, is Psalm 23, where it says right at the beginning, "Adonai is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want." Adonai is my shepherd. Adonai cares for me. Because of that, I will not want. There's real depth in that. During the month of January, I kind of decided that I'm going to focus the sermons on this question, what is church for? What is church for? And I was reminded as I was preparing for this that we learn a lot about what is church for through documents of the church. I remember going to seminary and hearing that the World Council of Churches has gotten together and decided what church is for. Church is for three things, according to the World Council of Churches. Kerygma, diakonia, and koinonia. Kerygma, the faithful proclamation of the gospel. Diakonia, service, especially to those who are vulnerable. And koinonia, the building up of brotherly and sisterly relationships amongst people. What church is for, supposedly, right? We look at church mission statements and purpose statements, and we find an awful lot of things that people claim that church is for. And those are not bad things. But often when I think about those kind of statements, it feels like something's kind of missing to me. And one of the things that feels very missing is this whole call of the church to rest in God. If we, as the church, think that the church exists simply to build this or that, or to do this or that, what we often find is ourselves in churches that are very active, but may not really nurture any kind of deep kind of spirituality amongst people. Just because a church is active, just because a church is big, just because a church does some good in the community doesn't mean necessarily that it's helping people become spiritually deep. And I think all of us have had experience of that that leads us to say amen when we hear that. Doris Jane gave me a great book, and I want to share it with you. I'm going to speak a little bit about this today because it was really interesting for me to read this just at this time when I was thinking about this question, what is church for? It's a book by Richard Rohr called The Threat. But what really often happens is that wounding or that loss or that suffering or that death or that tragedy is actually a gateway. Second. Who just think that they're succeeding by succeeding in that first half of life. Who have resigned themselves to something. They resign themselves to trust God's all others. Spiritually mature people know not only that care from God, but they've discovered something we all have to discover at some point or another. That down belief beneath all of that ego and identity is the God that we have always been a part of. And we recognize that we're part of the past and the present and the future and all that is because our life is in God. And you know what? No matter what comes along, it's okay because of that. Spiritually mature people find in the divine stream their own life, and they find in that stream the lives of others, even those who are in the first half of life, and they can step back and transcend and include them because they know where they're at. Spiritually mature people Know that we are all in this together, Lord says, and that we are equally naked under our own clothes. There's nothing to prove. There's nothing to compare. Each of us is unique, but uniquely connected to others and to the divine life. There's nothing to judge, for the spiritually mature know that others can only be where they're at any given point. They breathe forgiveness and transcendence and inclusion because they know down deep in their souls that they have been and always are being forgiven. Because God loves that self that is down underneath all of that facade. That they have always been and indeed always are included in the heart of God. They hear the voice saying, "Don't worry, everything's going to be all right." They are well because no matter what's going on within them, they have a trust that down deep below their egos, deep below the rules of this or that society, or this or that ideology, or this or that church, they know that they are beloved. They know that they are the precious one. They know that they are the one that the shepherd went out and rescued and left all the 99 behind. They know it because they feel it. And because they feel it, they know all is well. What is church for? I think church is for building that kind of trust, that kind of faith, that non-striving, that honesty that allows us to live with the shadow self without always having to defend ourselves or to be on the offensive with other people. That being in reliance, the reliance of a sheep on a shepherd. We're reassured that God's precious creation is always precious, and that failure is not something to be avoided, or suffering to be avoided, or distress to be avoided, or conflict to be avoided, but all those things are okay because they actually help us break free from the illusion of control and success and significance that trapped us in the first half of life. One of the interesting things that Richard Rohr says in this book is that we've forgotten about the elders in society, because a lot of our society is actually just full of people in the first half of life sort of striving with one another to build their own personal empires. We see that on our televisions all the time. We make the point that younger people somehow are better or stronger or more equipped to deal with life than older people are. But the fact is that older people often are well more equipped to deal with life than younger people are. How many of you know people who are in their later years who have this sense of absolute rest that it's all going to be okay? How did they figure that out? They're the elders. We need to listen to them. How many of you have people in your own life that are like that? I know there are a lot of people in church. This church, we have a church full of elders. People who have seen life. They've seen it lived hard. They've fought the good fight. They know that fighting the good fight is okay, but they also know that if we're constantly soldiering for our thing, you know what? Building empires is not any good either. They know that it's okay to be where we're at and to rest in peace, that God is taking all of us on this journey, and it's all going to happen in God's time, not in our time. Elders give us that ability to realize that we can get to the point where we can accept other people without judgment because we understand where they're at, understanding that they can't be anywhere other than where they're at, and that we can be with them, and that it's good. And that's totally okay. We need you, elders. I need you, elders. Elders have become free. So what is church for? Richard Rohr says, in the majority of our so-called faith communities, we don't really actually find a lot of faith. We find a lot of rules to be obeyed. We find a lot of dogmas which must be believed. We find a lot of rituals which must be performed. We find people demanding that the appearances of success and security be maintained in those communities. And what he says is, you know what, are those churches? What is that? Are those spiritually mature communities? In these communities, he said, the would-be maturing pilgrim is not challenged to any adult faith. or non-judgmental compassion, much less mystical union with the God that resides in all of us. Everyone ends up in a muddied middle where, as William Butler Yeats put it, the best lack all conviction and the worst are full of passionate intensity. Is that what church has become? Sometimes it is. Church is for many things, but the church is not for that. The church is not for allowing us to just live in the first half of life without realizing we need to get to that second half. And we need to rest in peace, in the knowledge that God is good and good for us and good all the time, no matter what. And that we can generate that love and goodness for others because we ourselves have rested in that peace. That's what church is for. Adonai is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's a lot of wisdom in that I shall not want. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this community of faith, which is full of people who have figured out that the striving doesn't mean all that much. Striving after success, the striving to have other people think of us as special, doesn't mean all that much. We pray that you would help each of us as we try to negotiate the first half of life self and the second half of life self, to negotiate those needs and to always keep in mind that you care for us no matter what. And that down deep inside, no matter what we are, or what we've done, or what we face, all is well. Say to us in our hearts, one by one, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Amen.